Meeting come to order.
I'm gonna let you.
Want to welcome everybody to the Public Services Committee on the given day of Monday, April 30th, 2018. The first item of business is the approval of the minutes from the April 3rd, 2018 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the April 3rd, 2018 meeting. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Second item on the agenda is the public comments. Does anyone here have any comments pertaining to the Public Services Committee? Hearing none, we'll move to item three, Employee Years of Service Recognition. Mr. Peel?
It's my pleasure today to be able to recognize one of our favorite employees, and we have many favorite employees, but Willa May is one of our favorite. And it's my pleasure to be able to recognize her for 10 years of service. Willa May, would you please come forward? Just state the committee for me. Willa May started her employment with the town on May the 28th, 2008, and has been a tremendous asset to the department and the town. She started her career at Alhambra Hall, and she still resides there as today. She has an excellent understanding and knowledge of her job and always performs at a high level. Willa May deals with the public daily and has countless letters from renters and residents stating that she is the definition of a kind, thoughtful, and wonderful person. She has also been praised for her dependability since she works long hours making sure events and weddings are safe and to town standards. Willa May has not only given the department a great name, but also the town. You are an example of a great employee who shows excellent customer service and dedication. Thank you for everything you do. And I will say, she either can make or break a day when it comes to a wedding. So I want to thank her for everything she does at Alhambra Hall. Thank you very much.
The next item on the agenda is the update on design of Edwards and Royal Drainage Basins. Mr. DeMora, I'm assuming you brought Mr. Peel in here to cover this.
He's ready. He's prepared. And why don't you go ahead, Jody?
First of all, I'd like to recognize that Rick Karkowski and Hillary Aton are with Thomas and Hutton, and Rick will be providing a presentation today. But I'd like to give a little update of where we are, basically for Ms. Landing and Mr. Coonan, because this project started before they were actually on committee. In November 2016, we town contracted with Thomas and Hutton to perform the Old Village study. And that study was done because of the flooding issues that we had in the town. And we wanted to see what kind of infrastructure we had in place, if there was any, what condition it was, and what kind of storms could we really, you see, our existing drainage structure handle. And what we found out, it probably could handle only less than a one-year storm, whereas we designed our system to at least a 10-year storm. So in June 2017, the drainage study was completed. On September the 2017, Thomas and Hutton signed a contract for the design of the drainage improvement. And what we did is we actually prioritized many of our basins. We had 27 basins, and we prioritized two of them because they were the worst. When we prioritized them, they came to be the worst basins, and that was Edwards Park and Wall Avenue. And that is where the drainage study for construction is being designed by Thomas and Hutton. Today, once Mr. Karkowski goes through his presentation, we're going to be asking for some guidance because we're at the point right now is where we are determining. We have a pump station at Edwards Park, and the pump station has got to a size that the footprint is very large, and you're directing a lot of water to an area that's basically below high tide level. Or do we look at going to gravity fed, which is less maintenance over the years, No mechanical failure could possibly happen, except maybe obstruction, but I wouldn't say that mechanical failure. It could be an obstruction. But we're looking at, okay, do we want to take some of the water off of Edwards Park, which is going to be a large basin? I believe it's approximately, correct me if I'm wrong, over 80 acres.
Yep, correct.
80 acres of water or land that's going to be directed. And it's going to come there a lot quicker. And it's going to come there with more water. So I just want to make sure when we do this presentation, we understand what we're asking. Because we're up to the point where we either go one way or the other. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Kukowski.
All right. Councilmen and members, thank you for having us here today to give you an update of where we are on our Edwards Park and Royal Avenue designs. The presentation, the outline doesn't quite work, but I was just going to give you a little bit of a background of what we did leading up to this point, just so the new members kind of have a good idea of how we ended up where we are right now. So our original project was a study for the town where we looked at the entire Old Village area, and that started in September 2016 under contract, and then it went into, we finished, there's a date that's wrong on there, we finished in June of 2017. So the scope of work was we collected data, we looked at the basins, we ended up studying over 27 basins in 1,100 acres of the Old Village area of the town of Mount Pleasant. We did a lot of field reconnaissance. We did a storm system evaluation where we actually went and looked at each structure and each pipe within the basin and updated the town's GIS system with that information, and then presented and then prepared a study that looked at the capacity of those existing systems. We also looked at some of the things that are going on in the Old Village, of like some of the development patterns that have been happening there and some of the future climatical or climate changes that are happening in our system and how that affected the system. Some facts about the Old Village, 69% of the roads are DOT owned and 86% of the pipe infrastructure is owned by the DOT. Most of it was designed and installed over 60 years ago. It may not have been designed to the modern Town of Mount Pleasant standard, which is essentially a 10-year design storm standard. The maintenance by DOT is lacking. There's some areas of the Old Village that do not have a positive outfall. That means that water has no place to go except just ponding and then into the ground over time. There's been a lot of additions and improvements throughout the basin, going from mainly the smaller or to moderate-sized houses to larger houses with larger impervious area that's contributing to some of the issues there. And then there's been a lot or some encroachments into the right-of-ways with on-street parking that's having an effect too. Plus there's some climate changes. That was our original study area. And then this is a subdivision of that area. Like I said, 27 basins with 1,126 acres. This is a summary of where we saw closed basins, where we were having some issues, where the water, we know water doesn't have a positive outfall. So, and I'm going through this part fairly quickly so we could get to the meat of the presentation. And then the finding, and just so you guys know of how we got to the Royal and Edwards Park basin, was we looked at various infrastructure components of like what, how many complaints a basin is having, how many FEMA calls or FEMA claims are in that area, how we analyze the system, what was the general level of service or what kind of storm that system could handle. And then we grouped all those different components in a ranking system and then ranked the basins to to rank them so we know how to attack this systematically. And, of course, as you guys know by our presentation here, Edwards Park and Royal Avenue were the top two ranked priority basins. So at the end of our study, we kind of came up with a tie, you know, the recommendations was, you know, we need to replace the storm drainage system in there and bring it up to the level of service that the town wishes to have, which is the 10-year. We recommended upgrading and expanding the Edwards Park pump station. We want to have tidal controls on our improved system. We want to help the town with routine maintenance and inspections. So any system that we're designing, we have an eye on inspections and maintenance. And then, again, the most critical basins that, you know, we recommended this to start with were Royal and Edwards. So right now, this is moving on to our design project. So moving out of the study into design. So in September, we signed the design contract with the town. We immediately started the project in September, and what we're targeting is to have the plans ready to go for bidding in October of this year. And then that would lead to construction starting probably early 2019 and then go through a good portion of 2019. So our scope of work included over 25,000 linear feet of survey for roadway. We did some wetland and critical area delineations. We designed all the drainage improvements based upon, you know, what we like to say, designing for the future in that area. So we are making provisions for this continued growth or continued like redevelopment in the old base, in the old village. We're producing our plans. We initiated utility coordination. We will be initiating permitting. Then we're under contract for bidding support and construction services. So again, these are our two basins: the Edwards Park, 138 acres; the Royal Avenue, 132 acres. That's a focus of our design. The proposed improvements, again, replacing the undersized existing infrastructure for the 10-year event, extending systems to areas that have poor or no drainage, and then we were looking to update and expand the existing pump station at Edwards Park at the time. But as Mr. Peel said, we have an alternative that we'd like the council to consider there. So some of the design considerations that we are taking into account are, you know, utility conflicts. There's a good amount of water and sewer, buried water and sewer that we have to be cognizant of. Then there are some overhead utilities. So we'll be coordinating with Mount Pleasant Water and other utility companies to avoid those. We have surveyed all trees in our right-of-way. And again, our project, we are trying to stay inside the right-of-way, and so far we have identified where we can stay within the right-of-way, so there's no property or easement acquisitions for permanent easements. There might be some temporary construction easements that we need down the line, but there's no property or easement acquisition as of yet. So we have tree impacts, and again, we're staying in the right-of-way. So the status of the design is, so Royal, we have surveyed 13,000 linear feet. The wetlands have been delineated and the critical area has been delineated. The pipe design is complete and we have made some significant progress on preparing the plans. We have had one run through on the project of looking at avoiding impacts, but as we continue to refine our plans, we'll continue to refine the design to avoid impacts. Mainly it's going to be now to avoid impacts while still maintaining our design. We did, with the town's input. We are looking at slightly shifting the outfall in the basin, but that project is going. And then we're past 30%, moving towards the 60% level of plans. That's Royal. Now on Edwards Park, there's 12,000 linear feet of survey completed. The wetlands in critical area have been delineated for the project that was originally envisioned, but not for what we will be talking here in just a minute. The pump station has been, conceptually and preliminarily designed, and this was where town staff started seeing the visual and extent of the impacts, and was started giving us some input about, maybe the pump station was just getting a little bit too large, and with some other concerns that they had, we did look at some other things, which we will be highlighting it. The pipe have all been designed in Edwards Park, but there might have to be some minor some modifications, and the plans are essentially at 30%, but they're paused for a little bit. So the issue that we came up with was the town was having some concerns with putting all our eggs in the pump station basket of having all this water of Edwards Park going to this very low spot below high tide and relying on a mechanical system to move that water out of there. And if that mechanical system had a hiccup or a failure of any type, we not only have this, the amount of water that's going there now, though with an improved system, we're concentrating even more water there. So there was that issue. So they asked us to look at some alternatives and consider some alternatives, which we did. And we came up what we're calling is the Queen Street diversion right now. And that's establishing a second outfall to the Edwards Park basin. So right now, Edwards Park outfalls at Ferry Street. The pump station contributes to a pipe that outfalls at the end of Ferry. And what we're looking to do now is divert enough water off the pump station so the existing pump station could function to the level that we want it to, this 10-year level, with a lower area. And then that diverted area goes to a second outfall that that is not reliant on the pump station. I think that, and then I have some maps. So this is what we're looking at. So the pump station is, if I get this right, pump station, yeah, here's Edwards Park. The pump station sits about mid park. And then the main drainage from the major part of Edwards Park Basin comes down Ferry Street to the pump station, gets pumped, and then goes out Ferry Street right here. What we are proposing is a bypass system that will capture the water right here. And that, Hillary, what's the name of that road again? Grenards. And it diverts it down to a new outfall at the end of Queen Street. So that diverts roughly three-fifths, of the basin off the pump station and doesn't require a upgrade or a increase in capacity. We still would want to do some reliability improvements to the pump station, but it could remain essentially as it is now with some improvements.
Go back to the backwards one slide. Rick, make sure they understand, please, everything in the red and the blue, if we do not divert, and say the gray and what's not colored, if we do not divert, everything that you see on that outline in the red and the blue will be coming to Edwards Pump Station.
So it does go there now, but at a much, much slower pace because the pipes are all undersized by, significantly undersized. So instead of having 18-inch and 24-inch pipes that are contributing to it. We're going to have 48-inch and 60-inch pipes. Now, we would, you know, have redundancies there. Of course, you know, the new pump station was going to have, we had planned a new parallel. We actually were designed two different, the existing pump station would have stayed, and we basically designed a parallel pump station. And it had its own generator, and this one had its own generator. So we had some redundancies built in there, but still the gravity system, of course, kind of takes, you know, does trump everything. You know, it's gravity always works. So 77 acres will be diverted off of the pump station and through this box culvert system, large pipe and box culvert system, and a new outfall would have to be established at the end of Queen. And the remaining 61 acres will continue to go to the pump station and pump out there. That, if I'm, that's essentially where we're at.
Thank you very much for that. I have a couple of questions. One is, what could possibly be the downside of using the gravity direction? It sounds so obvious, but there must be some reason why it's
I mean, it's the cost. We have some preliminary and conceptual costs. The cost is not right at this time they're about the same capital. The pump station does have ongoing maintenance and electrical costs, so there is a present worth cost that needs to be brought into that. So the pump station actually would be a little bit more expensive. The drawback is you'll be building a system, number one, a new outfall where there wasn't one before, down a road that, you know, doesn't have existing infrastructure, that you, so you'd have to go down a new road, if you will.
So in other words, we're going to be tearing up a lot more streets temporarily in order to make this happen.
Correct.
Okay.
That's essentially the only pretty...
Not really?
Well, you're going to be doing the same thing if you were to go down Ferry Street.
Okay.
So you're going to be destroying or disrupting the road also, because I believe if you go to Ferry Street, that pump station, the pipe size is going to have to be increased. If
correct.
More pipes are going to have to put in the ground.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So it's either or.
Yeah.
Rick, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Finished.
Rick, just looking at this diagram right here where you're coming down from Ferry, you're taking a right, looks like on Royal.
Yes, correct.
Did you look at a possible route taking a left on Royal and then coming down Queen to alleviate some of that length of pipe?
Well, we actually did consider on this solution taking a left, you know, coming down
Royal.
We looked at an alternative where it would come left here on Royal and then come out McCants, which is another alternative. There's access to the bay, if you will, or the marsh right here. There's some more utility impacts plus some more impacts to individual homeowners, where this route we had direct access, you know, to the marsh without getting in anybody's yard.
Right, I get that. What I'm looking at, is that not Royal up there? Right there. Instead of turning right, take a left and eliminate that whole section of pipe that's going right and then coming down Queen?
There is one other dimension that's not represented here, and that's topography. And one of the issues that, and that's why the pump station works so good, this area is very, very low, this area right here. So if we brought any of this gravity system through that area, and we've worked with the staff on this also.
It'd be hard to get it to go back.
We had to go around that low area, because if we went through the low area, the system would have to be designed essentially as a pressurized system, mm-hmm. where we would have a hydraulic grade line, or the pressure of this gravity system, because, you know, it's high back here, and then, you know, like we said, this area is below high tide. This area is like elevations 5, 4, you know, 4 and 5 are in here. These areas are more like 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. So we want to stay in an area that we could design a traditional gravity system where the pressure is not above the ground.
What's your elevation in your new design? where it comes down, takes a right instead of a left, and then going towards Queen, and then straight down. What's your elevations in there? Well, you come down Ferry. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
This area is just, that is
on Friend Street.
That's the same elevation as the pump station, like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. So those areas, like back behind the tennis courts, this area is really low right through here. This route is, so this, you know, we've considered a straight through, and like if we just improved that and just kind of kept all the infrastructure going up and down Ferry, which is essentially the same alignment as Queen, but it's that elevation that we you know, the town and the staff and us we could design a system, but we don't think it's the best alternative because of the pressure. You know, the manholes would have to be bolted to the ground and gasketed, because that system, when it's flowing at capacity, would have a hydraulic grade line above the ground. And so we don't believe that's the best way to go.
Are you running everything at 0.5%?
It's more than that. It's like 3%.
So by keeping it going down Freeman, Friend Street, and then turning left, and then eventually adding on into Queen Street, you're keeping it high to low, is what you're telling us.
That's correct, and it's, I know it's a little bit complicated, you know, but the, you know, the hydro grade stays at the same elevation, and it, when that grade comes above, you know, the gravity pushing that water through the system, when it gets above the ground, that means the system has to be designed as pressure.
Right.
So it would be a sealed system. We couldn't have any more water accepted into it, because that would just, it would be a place for the water to actually flood. So
mm-hmm.
that actually goes back to Jody's, you know, point about bringing water down to a point that's below you know, our starting water elevation is actually high tide,
right,
or higher high tide, you know, because we're planning on higher high tides in the harbor as the system moves out to its lifespan, which is 50 years. So we know those tides are just going up. So we are designing to those tides, and we start in there. That is above some of the area we're trying to drain, like that intersection right there at Pitt and Ferry is like the lowest. I mean, it's like 3.5.
Sir. Yeah, have they ever considered doing like ponds in those low spots? As opposed to, because it seems like, to me, we spend a lot of money going underground. Is it even an option? Is it feasible to think about that?
Well, you know, again, the size of a pond to make a you know, impact is incredibly large. And so we I know that, like, this particular studies have not looked at detention as it were. I know there were some other previous studies that did consider a detention pond within the basin, but I think, you know, previous staffs and previous you know, town leadership didn't believe that was the way to go.
I have two more questions. Going back to the timeline, it says October 2018 for drainage improvements project designed to be complete. When will residents actually start seeing work happening?
It would probably begin beginning of 2019.
Okay, so like January 2019, yeah. Depending on the weather,
yeah,
and all.
I mean, that's the plan. Now, so right now, just to, you know, on the schedule, Royal is continued down the schedule. That's, you know, it's continue. You know, we're fairly confident we can meet that schedule. Edwards, with this kind of redesign, we're looking at a major change in the direction here. This may shift some, but Royal is going to continue with and meet that schedule. But Edwards may shift depending on the outcome of how, you know, where we start deciding to go.
So then, based on the current schedule you had, where by 2000, let's say by the end of hurricane season, November 2019, you would have expected things to be done, but now we might be looking at going into...
For Royal, I would expect things to be done. For Edwards, I think it will still be going on.
Until maybe the following year?
Yes.
Sometime in... Okay. And then I had one other question. On your numbers where you did the prioritization, Ben Sawyer Basin and Dover and Alhambra, all of these were, and well, even Mill Tract, all of these were fairly close behind, but especially Ben Sawyer and Dover, and I'm just, Dover?
Dovery.
So sorry, thank you. so question being, I guess there's two things. One, how long will they have to wait until, I guess it's all about money and time, but would alleviating the pressure and the flooding in some of these other major size locations help the whole community, or it's really only going to address what's happening there?
Yeah, and I can't answer the first question, but I can answer the second question. You know, our approach is a basin approach. You know, you have to address everything in a basin, and you don't, and so you, it doesn't really help like doing little bits in one basin or a lot. You really got to focus on these basins. So that's why we really push this priority basin thing. So these improvements are not going to help those other areas. So that's that answer.
And there's nothing that can be done to help mitigate a little bit, because if we're already talking about, you know, two hurricane seasons out and just wondering how long they're going to have to wait. Not based on money, but based on it has to be a major project. You can't do anything small along the way.
Well,
not really.
I mean, again, I think the town needs to kind of answer that.
The approach that we took was that we got it from council was to look at pilot area one. Pilot area two, the ones that were the lowest on the list, and that's the way that we addressed it. Mm-hmm. If there's funding available and council directs us to come back and look at three and four and five, we'll be more than happy. But they need to go through the same design phase mm-hmm. as one and two have gone through.
Okay.
Joe?
Yeah, Eric, I think this is more for you. At one time, there was a push for all those ends of all those streets, Ferry, Queen, to be there. The town maintained control of those as parks, correct? Because I remember there was a time where a number of residents wanted to, have control of those, and I think Ferry Street was one. It was really kind of a tough time. But I don't recall Queen, the end of Queen.
Yeah,
down to the water. Do we still, we didn't abandon that, did we?
No, sir. Either us or DOT, the public still maintains control of those right-of-ways. Okay. We didn't turn over any of them to private property owners.
Okay. And the whole thing with that, so that the committee will know, residents down along the end wanted the town to abandon those streets that go down to the marsh so they could put in, you know, bigger lawns or parks or whatever, and there was a fight for that. And if we go in to move some now, there'll probably be a good public notice campaign that's going to have to go on so that we won't have to fight that fight again. I'm glad Queen Street wasn't one of them. There was one particular one.
It was Ferry.
Ferry Street.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
I got another question regarding the pump station. You were talking about being parallel and building one next to the existing. What did you find in the capacity issues of the parallel pump station? What kind of capacity are you looking for? How big are you looking to have to build in parallel?
So the current pump station is two pumps, and we were designing for redundancy and flexibility, we designed a parallel pump station that had the same size pumps but had three of them. So we would have gone from two to five.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually had
jockey.
And then a smaller jockey pump, which we wanted to use to drain groundwater in small rain events. So it was a significant upgrade to the pump station, and the footprint is very large, and would have and will have, if it goes forward, a significant impact on the footprint in Edwards Park. But it would have been a large, like you said, actually four pumps, but the smaller jockey pump didn't take up the space.
Yeah.
How big? So it's 200 CFS.
Okay.
And I'm not a gallons per minute guy, so don't
okay. Me. All right, won't touch that. In looking, you don't have any idea as far as what the footprint would look like on that, and also the elevation, the top elevation of that pump station?
We do. We actually have a layout, which we could share with council. The elevation is actually the top of the it would have been the same elevation as the existing one, which is about elevation 8, which it kind of sticks above ground like 3 or 4 feet.
And then you're probably talking about platforming all your electrical controls.
Electrical controls. We had a program to hide it in a kind of like a pergola screened area with a new generator
screen
that was going to have to put down there. Too. So there would have been two generators. And then the electrical would have been installed in the enclosure area with the generators.
Okay, so that's your option. That's your...
Yeah, that's option A, and then option B is this.
The gravity.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the present generator we have now only will operate one pump. Generators that would go down there to operate this entire pump station is going to have to be much larger.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's priced in, that's looked at in the design.
Yeah.
Okay.
That brings up another question. So it sounds like you're definitely leaning us towards the idea that the gravity system makes more sense, because, if we had great big generators and everything else, now we're talking about, aren't we talking about a noise element too?
Only when we lose power.
Right, I understand that, but.
They're not that noise. They're not industrial or anything. They're residential noise levels. There is a sound, but certain distance away, it was within acceptable residential neighborhood standard.
But let me ask Ms. Landon's question: what we have down there goes through a test cycle. It's constantly going through a dry run, regardless whether you have lost power or not. So there are times when it is not raining, those pumps are going to kick on and just put it through a test mode, and then they'll eventually shut off.
So it's a choice between flooding and noise is what we're talking about. Okay. It's an easy one.
But the gravity system doesn't work. Right.
We do have a comparison of costs. What I'd like to say there, and again, it's, the designs of these are, the pump station's further along, but the design of the diversion is not quite there. We have run what I would call, conceptual diversion costs, and we are finding the costs are fairly comparable on the capital side. And then if you factor in the O&M and electrical, it will tip it towards, again, the diversion option. It tips it towards the gravity option.
You go ahead.
Ongoing maintenance issue with one versus the other?
Yeah, that's what
you're saying. Of course, a mechanical system has like an annual maintenance. We have to pull the pumps, inspect them. Sometimes you got to send them off for service. Things break, mechanical. Gravity, other than, you have to back it out, do some inspections. It's a more easier, and I think, the town's probably geared a little more to maintain a gravity system than a more, say complicated pump stations.
Thank you.
So if we look out 10 or 20 years, there's very little doubt that the drainage with the piping out to the outfall is going to be a lot better cost-wise.
Correct. Yeah. And if you look at the lifespan, a 50-year lifespan, it's definitely going to be cheaper because of the O&M and electrical costs.
For example, the pumps that are presently at Edwards Park, we've placed them already after 10 years. About 10 years, both of them.
Big dollar.
Where's the discharge at a force main right now, currently?
For the pump station?
Yes.
The discharge?
Yes.
Straight at the end of Ferry Street.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because the gravity will require a new discharge point, which has to be permitted.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. And it will also terminate at Ferry Street?
No, Queen.
Down at the end of Queen.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, the pump station, the new pumps, the pump station option, we were looking at installing a parallel second outfall at Ferry.
Yes.
So Ferry would have had a lot of work in that. But now if we don't go with the pump station, the new outfall is actually at Queen with the gravity system.
Sir, so the low-lying area you're talking about that you're going around, that's going to still have a small pump station?
It'll still have the existing pump station. And what we are, if we do the gravity option, we would still hopefully build a budget in there to do some redundancy on the existing pump station. Needs some little work to bring it up to a little bit better redundancy. And,
okay.
And so we would hope to do some improvements to it, but it's not a full expansion. It's just
okay.
Improving what's there.
Perfect. And now just this, I guess this is more for staff. There's a couple of persistent complaints about flooding from residents. There's two that I'm aware of that are very persistently complaining, and rightfully so. Do you know if the most common complaints are addressed by this project?
Well, for anyone who's, the public system will allow for anyone who is experiencing their own drainage problems privately on their property, they'll have to push that water to the public system. But where a public system may not be functioning or not exist, one will, but they've got to get the water there.
I got you.
And that would alleviate their problem.
Either with a pump or yep. Gravity.
Or some type of grading, yeah.
Right.
This may also be a little bit too granular on that, but one of the things you brought up as why this has all been happening, why the flooding's gotten so much worse, was new additions and other improvements that are increasing impervious areas. I think that's kind of, we all know that common sense-wise. The question I have is there any effort done on our part as a town when people are either, when we're redoing a road, when we seeing people redo their driveways, whatever it is that might be the impervious surface, to look at things that do have the ability to drain. I guess I'm thinking of driveways that are made with crushed oyster shell or something. I mean, something that actually can. Isn't there something?
Council recently, I can't recall how many months ago, but the impervious surface ordinance went a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just restricting the amount of property that can be essentially developed or made.
Right.
Impervious. Mm-hmm. And I think that is as much as anything. I did want to caution, I could be all wrong on this, but it's important to talk about, and that is that as the design gets more perfected, we're probably going to need to start bringing the public in for workshops so they know what's happening. I think the installation of a system or an improved system is going to be pretty impactful.
It is.
And then we're going to be relying on residents to help us along the way, and that may include filled in areas that have prevented originally constructed swales from performing.
Mm-hmm.
Those things might have to be brought back, and that might not be popular.
That is a, you know, when we do an improvement down a road, if the encroachments have interrupted the surface drainage, we're going to try to restore it back to the intent, which is generally a road with a small swale. I mean, and I'm talking like just low area. I'm not talking like ditch. I'm talking swale, where many of these roads have been impacted, where these swales have been filled to create either landscaping or roadside parking or other private features. That so when we go back down there and we put this new system in there, you know, with the town and the DOT, we're going to reestablish the intent of how that system was supposed to function. So there is going to be, I think, a heavy public outreach that needs to be definitely taken.
Yeah. What is the most expedient path and cost-effective path? Is it utilizing another pump station, or is it utilizing a larger gravity system discharging into at the end of Queen?
I think they both are just as expedient. The one concern that I have is the permitting implications of a second outfall in a different location.
At the Ferry Street location.
Well, no, at the Queen Street. The gravity system has a higher permitting hurdle than the pump station option does, because currently the Queen Street end, there's no discharge there, and so there's no impact or anything going on there what we are proposing could have some, you know, water quality and marsh impacts that we would have to work out with the regulators, which we have initiated that, and we do have some meetings set up to get that. So that one has probably a little bit higher permitting hurdle than the pump station option. And that's the only really thing that could delay or kind of, design-wise, they're both pretty straightforward, and we've got a pretty good handle on that. It would be the permitting that could impact the schedule either or. With the pump station, I think the permitting is a little more straightforward because we're going to an existing outfall. With a new outfall, I think that throws a monkey wrench in there or adds a little more complexity to it. So that would be the only option, or that would be the only impact to schedule between the two.
The only other thing I've got is the size of the secondary pump station, primary or secondary. I guess that would actually be primary if you're going to go with a triplex system. But anyway, did you look at the possibility of just increasing the capacity with just one pump station rather than putting a parallel in?
We did. We started down the line of going with a totally, just tearing it out. But as we developed the design, there's two things that really make it beneficial to go with this parallel system. Number one is redundancy.
Mm.
So we have, each one has its own generator. So, if power goes out and one of the generators fails, we got, one pump station is going to continue to function with that one generator. The other one is construction. We can leave the existing pump station in service, mm-hmm. build the parallel one, build a new one next to it,
right.
And then tie it in.
And reroute, right.
So, and then bring all the system together. So construction was going to be a lot, so if we had to go with a totally new system, we'd have to come up with a system of temporarily pumping.
Bypassing and so
bypassing
forth.
Bypassing and all mm-hmm. that, which we really didn't think was going to be
okay.
Too easy. So we thought this building a parallel, essentially a parallel system offline,
yeah.
And then once we get it all designed, we could bring it online.
Where do we stand currently with the design process and the acceptance from the town's perspective of moving forward with this project, with the design?
You mean this for these basins?
Yes. Well, for this... Yeah. For what we're discussing today, the design and running gravity, where we're at, 30%.
We're past 30 on Royal, so and then we're kind of at 30% on this basin until we figure out the direction we would like to go, because right now we've gone and gotten to a 30% design for the pump station, and then staff and we've been having some concerns, and so we looked at this alternative. And so once we consider, we make this decision, that the bypass, which I think, I think we're all agreeing the bypass is probably the way to go, we'd have to take a little step back, do some survey, and then design that bypass.
What do you need as far as from council? Jody, I know you were talking about, giving you some guidance as far as to pursue the gravity methodology as opposed to the pump station?
I think we'll leave that. It's important to let Thomas and Hutton pursue what they believe is the best design element.
Yes.
And that, in my opinion, that probably shouldn't be interfered with unless y'all looked at it and said, whoa, wait a second, right?
Yeah.
And then we would go a different direction. But it seems prudent to allow them to continue with the gravity situation, which may involve Queen Street.
Okay.
And so I don't believe there's any
action
that needs to be taken.
Okay.
We want to make you aware that was probably the plan unless something dramatic changes.
Okay. Mr. Boussos?
Yeah, I just have one concern, and that was a reference to your comment about the swales being put in. The parking down that part of town, people depend on parking on street. A lot of the houses just have driveway large enough for no garage but to park a car. And if there's a swale in front of the house, is the expectation that they won't park there? that they're going to...
No.
They're going to park there.
Right. It's not the expectation. It's that there's two issues, and this kind of goes, and this gets way down in the weeds, but there's going to be a permitting element of this project where we have to provide some type of water quality benefit of this project. The town has an NPDES permit that says you manage a stormwater system, whether you manage it or not. You have a stormwater system in the town that if you are doing these drainage improvements, you have to consider water quality as part of this project. And one of our strategies that we were going to take up is, right now, they've filled the swales, tilted the water to the edge of pavement, and then the water flows down the edge of pavement right to an inlet and then out. Well, if we allow that water to get to a swale, it has more capacity to go into the ground, and you get a little water quality benefit. So we were going to hope to get this water quality benefit as part of this project. Now, you could still park on a 2% slope this way rather than a 2% slope that way. You know, you really don't notice the slope, but we really need the slope to continue from the edge of pavement to the center of the swale rather than starting at the edge of pavement and start going up. You would have this swale. Now, you could park in it. We could even, I guess, and consider having, you know, some type of defined area, but we do need that swale so that, and again, I'm talking this deep, not ditch deep.
Well, and my question would be, cars repeatedly parking on this, at some point it's going to have to be maintained because that's going to be flattened from vehicles driving on it. Is that going to create more maintenance for public services to maintain that swale?
Well, again, it's like with any neighborhood. You know, I have a certain amount of right of way in the front of my house. I cut the grass on it. You know, this is gonna be grass. You know, I'm saying like we could, and you know, if it's grass and they park on it and they cut it, then yeah, it's fine. I can't see the town running mowers down it, you know, any more than anything than it, than
no,
it does
I'm not
now.
Worried about that. I'm just, you know, like I say, I think it's going to be flattened out. It's going to be basically destroyed by repeatedly parking on it, driving on it, and all of these things, and then we're going to be right back where we were. So not, all of this does not include piping in all areas.
That we're right. Well, we're not talking about, you know, we're only talking about where we have an installation of a pipe on and actually one side of the road. It's not both sides of the road because, you know, we are aiming to do our improvements down one side of the road that's has the least impacts, whether it's to parking or to trees or to utilities or whatever. But that side, when we reconstruct it, we're going to reconstruct it with a swale. It's the intent, unless otherwise, you know,
I just don't know if that's going to be sustainable. I mean, maybe so.
I mean, like if they have parking, like so you get, you know, 10 feet of parking, and instead of having it, you know, slope that way, we're just saying they have 10 feet of parking that has a little dip in it is what, you know, we're looking. Now, it's going to get to cost if, you know, if we look to replace everybody's, like, pavers and gravel and for parking, that drives up the construction costs. And, you know, we're going to be looking to put back grass swales.
Okay. Committee, any other questions? Well, Rick, we appreciate you coming out here and providing us. Do you have more to go? You got? Are you going to address anything else while you're here?
I believe not. No, I'm good.
And Jody, do you need to discuss anything further?
Direction I believe I've got is we're going to move forward with gravity, looking at that versus going to the pump station. So I think that's the consensus I've got is that's the direction we're going to move from this point forward.
Okay, as we discussed a little while ago, we're not going to interfere with Thomas and Hutton's design. They're going to proceed at the direction of the town.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Appreciate it. There's no action for us, so we can move on to the next item, which is the update on the distribution of fully automated roll cards. Mr. Peel, this is your baby.
I need a little help right at this moment, so bear with me, please. So, if you all recall, last budget year, it was decided that we were going to look at going to fully automated garbage trucks. And two trucks have been ordered, and we are waiting for them to arrive probably to the late summer and the early fall. So what I'd like to do is, because we're getting ready to start our distribution of our roll cards, and I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of phone calls to y'all in reference to what are we doing and what's going on. So what I'll do today is I will review phase one of our plan and the schedule that we are proposing to put this into action. As I said already, as part of the budget year for the town, we purchased two fully automated garbage trucks which arrived this summer. Each truck is expected to be able to collect 1,000 cans per day. In order to prepare for these trucks, the town is replacing 8,000 roll carts that are compatible with these trucks. To accomplish this in the most effective manner without disrupting service to residents, we have contracted with Waste Recycling Services, Inc. to distribute new carts and collect the old carts. So we will have contractors out there, and they will be working on our Monday route, our Tuesday route, our Wednesday route, our Thursday route, with taking out 1,000 cans, hopefully a day, and bringing back 1,000 cans that need to be brought back in. Our plan during the week of May the 7th, this flyer, which I have right here, will be distributed on all roll carts that will be placed with the new compatible carts. And it's just basically information. And this will actually give them some heads up of what we're getting ready to do, when we plan on doing it. And it will actually get them to go back to websites, tell them the do's and the don'ts, because this is going to be an educational process with the public. Additional garbage, if you have one bag and won't fit in your container, put it on top of the container. If you have more than one bag, we would strongly suggest you buying your second container. And also, it's all where you place your can. Old way handles used to go to the street. New way handles need to go to the house, just like your recycle can. And also that we do not want bungee cords or things secured in the can, so we'd ask them that they not tie their cans down, because a lot of people will tie their lids. And not to put it by a mailbox or by a car, because when this arm comes out, it's open, and then it wraps around the can and dumps it. Starting on May the 14th, approximately 1,000 cans will be collected and replaced per day. This process will take 2 weeks. And why this is going to take 2 weeks is we have two trucks, so we got to do 2,000 cans. For our Monday route. So the first week we're going to do X amount of cans for 1,000 on our Monday route. The next week we'll do the next part for the 1,000 cans. Containers will be replaced on a normal collection day after the roll carts are empty. So that's critical. My guys, instead of norming their normal route, just because we're going to these roll carts in the Pacific subdivisions, our route is much bigger than that. But we're going to concentrate on Pacific subdivisions to get the garbage emptied so that they can go to their other routes to complete them. So when they come to collect their cans, they're able to collect the can with an empty can and not bringing raw garbage back to our facility. Containers are staged at our Public Service Department 6-mile facility. We have already put together 8,000 cans. They're ready to roll. Old containers will be brought back to our 6-mile facility and recycled by the third party. What we would like to do is bring them back. There is a recyclable product out of this. I'm not sure right now the dollars can go up or down depending on the demand for the plastic. So right now we will hold those until we are able to get all our cans in, and then we will look at a third party coming in and recycling them for us. The bag of literature will be provided on each cart when it's replaced, so you'll know you'll have your new cart is because we'll be replacing some literature. The first thing to the left is actually our schedule, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It shows you their holiday on the calendar, what days are holiday, and what happens then. The next one shows you all the subdivisions, what subdivisions are collected on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. To the right of that is actually, it tells you about Waste Allendale and Charleston for recycling. Gets a little information tips. And the other one to the far right is, let's talk trash. What do you put in your trash can? What don't you put in the trash can? And that's critical. A lot of people like put paint in the trash cans, which causes some problems. Residents will be kept up to date on the progress of our efforts of our social media and the truck transition website. Jennifer Knight is our communication lady in our office, and she's working hard to make sure that the general public understands what's going on. I just want to bring this up in case someone questions you. When we go to a subdivision, we're going to replace from the front door to the back door for those subdivisions that are on our list. And what I mean is, if you've got a can, you may already have a can that's a fully automated can. However, we want to make sure we recollect that can. And when we recollect that fully automated can, we're going to give you a new can, but the one that we collected will go back into our replacement stockpile. Because I want to make sure every resident knows that they're getting a replacement can. And that will help these contractors understand, yes, I give them one, no, I don't give them one. I'm trying to make this process as smooth running as possible. So if the general public says, look, they dropped off me a can, it was identical to what I had, what's going on? This is what's going on. So this is just gives you our schedule on a Monday, and it's broken up into different areas. And we're trying to stay very close together. So the color coded for week one is the one on the left, which I believe that's all of Long Point. And then the one on the right will take you up Long Point Road a little bit. And then you go to the second week of the schedule, which puts you, the one on the let me back up. Long Point, and then the one on the right for week one is also on Whipple Road. The other ones that you see on that schedule are for Grassy Creek, Etowah, Hidden Cove. So they're all in the close proximity. So when the contractor pulls out of one neighborhood, he's going right into another neighborhood. So that shows you the detail of our list for the Monday schedule. And that will show you the Tuesday schedules. That will show you our Wednesday schedule. And I know I can go into this fast, but a lot of our schedules, we're trying to hit close to that 2,000 mark. We might go over a little bit. We may be under a little bit. We're trying to hit the 2,000 mark. And there's your Thursday schedule. Thursday schedule is most everything in Dunes West. So we're probably going to go from the front gate all the way to the back. And there'll be the newer subdivisions, Dunes West, will have some fully automated cans already. We're going to take them, we're going to give them a new one, we're going to bring the old one back, and we're going to recycle them. Like on the harbor compostor. The first week, we're starting on the 14th. It could possibly be on the harbor is the second week, so I'd have to see a calendar.
And the 21st. I noticed Brick Falls Estates is the first week.
Yes, sir.
I just have one question. For apartments or condos, you know, most of them have dumpsters, but some do still have the cans. Are they going to be, who's responsible for getting the can out where the truck can get it?
Well, some of these are not, we don't even have any apartments on this. That's coming down the road probably several years from now. Okay. But when that happens, then we're going to have to revisit. It should be their responsibility to get them out of the corral and out to a place that we can collect them without having to get out of the truck. We don't collect a lot of apartments anymore. There's a few that were grandfathered in. Then when you go to townhouses, a lot of townhouses have our roll cart, and most of them have garage space, so they normally roll them out. So a lot of the townhouses that we're facing right now bring them to the curb already.
Yeah, I was talking about the ones that go in the corral.
Right. Usually. Parish Place is one that still has them in the corral. And then we have another one that was corral, but they actually here recently have removed the corral. We have a couple still.
Yeah.
There's some in Hamlin.
Yeah, well, Snee Farm Lakes is all corral there, too.
Okay. So that's our Thursday schedule, and then does anybody have any questions?
Committee?
I'm good.
Ms. Landy? Okay. Well, thank you, Jody. Appreciate the information and the update. Mr. DeMora? Do we have any further business in this committee in particular?
No, sir.
Mr. Peel?
No, sir.
Committee? Hearing none, we stand adjourned.
So, Jody, at present, for those corrals, do your guys go in there and get them out?